Bitterroot Mountains, Idaho. Charlie Ingersoll's hands were completely numb. He couldn't feel anything with them. When he tried to wipe the snow off his face, it was like a pair of wooden boards scraping against his frozen nose. With some surprise, he realized that the pain was gone. Numb. Freezing. At least it don't hurt anymore, he realized. God never gives you a trial that's too much for you. He watches over you all the time. He wondered if God was keeping the wolves away. They must be out there. Wolves. They hunt in packs. Probably go after that moose instead of me, he told himself. God won't let me get eaten by wolves. Without warning, Charlie's legs collapsed beneath him. He simply folded up and fell face down into the snow. No pain. He felt kind of like he was floating, going to sleep. Somewhere in the back of his mind there was a tendril of fear, a vague memory of Martha and the kids. God, don't let them die, Charlie begged silently. Take me if you gotta, but let Martha and the kids live. He wanted to hear an answer, but only the biting, moaning wind came to his ears, and the distant baying of a wolf. Charlie fought against falling asleep. You fall asleep and then you freeze to death, he knew. But ultimately he had no more strength in him. He closed his eyes and drifted into the sweet oblivion of sleep. But just before it all went dark, he thought he heard the snarl of a wolf, several wolves, very close to him. He knew he should be alarmed, but it was just too easy to go to sleep. San Francisco, the Cow Palace. So when's he coming out? Vicky asked, teenaged impatience etched onto her face. Sylvia frowned at her elder daughter. He's the president, Victoria. He has a lot of things to do. He'll be out when... Look! Denise pointed. A portly woman was striding onto the stage. The audience began to applaud. That's Senator Humans, Sylvia told her daughters, feeling relieved that something was happening at last. The chairs were totally uncomfortable. Senator Humans basked in the applause for a few moments, then waved both her chubby arms to still the audience. Good evening, and welcome to San Francisco, the city by the bay. This is a momentous occasion for us all.
Oh, for the love of Pete, Vicky moaned. She's going to give the same speech she gave at the big rally last week back home.
The president listened intently to his chief of staff's cell phone. Foster had laid it on the table between them and clicked on its speaker function. Apparently they shot down one of the North Korean interceptors, General Higgins was saying. In the phone's minuscule display screen, the general's face looked red and bloated, clownish. Apparently, the president snapped. Did they or didn't they? The MiG caught fire and crashed into the sea, sir, Higgins replied, his voice tinny and small. Whether it was from Able One's laser or just an engine malfunction remains unclear, Mr. President. The president glanced at Foster, who spread his hands palms up. Either way, we win, Foster said. So where's Able One now? The president demanded. Over the Sea of Japan, sir, heading for Misawa Air Base. Can they send out a search and rescue team? If the plane ditches. Now! I want it sent out now, whether the plane ditches or not. Yes, sir, of course. I'll get the word to Misawa right away. Good. Thank you, General Higgins. Foster clicked the cell phone closed. The president stood in silence for a long moment, then said to his chief of staff, We've done all we should do.